The following is a paid advertisement. The opinions, viewpoints, and promises made during the following program are not those of KHOW, its staff, management, or parent company, iHeartMedia Incorporated.
This show is a legal advertisement, and it is intended to provide general information only. It is not intended to provide specific legal advice, nor does it create an attorney-client relationship. You should not rely on general legal information instead of specific legal advice regarding your specific circumstances. Follow-up contact does not create an attorney-client relationship and does not constitute legal advice.
Time now for the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Heard weekly on stations all over Colorado. Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are Colorado injury attorneys. But for the next hour, they'll answer questions and provide advice on any legal matter, including wills, real estate, bankruptcy, contracts, and more. Call in now. 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. And now, here are your hosts, live in the studio, Gary Bell and Brad Pollock.
I had a friend was a big baseball player back in high school. He could throw that speedball by you, make you look like...
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Justin Johansson, Brad Pollock, Gary Bell here for you. Every Saturday, 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. Welcome to all of our listeners, KRDO in Colorado Springs. Hello. How's everything in Colorado Springs and surrounding areas? KEZZ 94.1 FM in Steamboat Springs. Gotta love Steamboat Springs. Have to love Steamboat Springs. Right? KRAI in Craig, Colorado. Wonderful place. Small town. Small town atmosphere. And, of course, right here, 6:30 a.m. on your AM dial, KHOW Denver, Colorado. Welcome to our show. You know what our show is? We get about information. We answer your questions. We try to help you each and every week. We've been doing it for years. And we do our Champions of the People Injury Show, are 1 hour long, in addition to all of our other podcasts, in addition to all of our other 1 half-hour shows, and we cover different injury subjects. And today on KOA 8:50 a.m. from 10 to 11, every Saturday from 10 to 11, we get exempted a couple of Saturdays a year by the Buffaloes. We're glad that happens. But today, 10 to 11, is we're talking about workers' comp. Workers' comp is a micromanaged area. There's not hundreds, but thousands of rules and regulations with regard to workers' comp. And so it's hard, it's difficult, if not impossible, to go it alone, because if you don't check the right box on the forms, if you don't file the right forms, which are all micromanaged, rules, regulations, statutes. So that's today, 10 to 11 on KOA. We break down workers' comp for you, how employers attack this, the ins and outs. And we have a book, two books, on our website, championsofthepeople.com. That deal with workers' comp, and they show you, if you just read our books, they show you the mistakes you can make and you should not make, and if you're educated, you won't make. Just read the book, and you won't make these mistakes. And then they show you a couple little tricks the employers try to pull sometimes, and these insurance companies try to pull sometimes. Okay. What are we talking about today? We're going to educate you today. Educate and advocate. What if you're in a store, big box store, Colorado, and you're looking at something, and boom, you're hit on the head by a box, a falling box, a falling product. You go to the floor. You can't move. What's the liability? What is the law in Colorado with regard to these type of situations? How about you being in the grocery store? You're walking around the corner, wow. Your feet go out from under you, land flat on your back. The ambulance comes, takes you away. We're going to teach you today about the law. We're going to teach you today about the ins and outs and what to do. So many people come to our offices, great people, wonderful people. They just were not told what to do. And there's certain things you should do. And obviously certain things you should not do. How about Halloween? Got people coming over for Halloween? Right? How about a get-together at your house? People coming over for your house? how about you walk out from a store at night, Colorado, and let's just make it a little bit of troubled weather, whatever. And there's no security, there's no lights, there's no protection, and you're attacked or robbed. Wow, Gary, you're going all over the board here. Yeah, we're going all over the board. So, Brad, let's take this on head on, and let's talk about the Colorado Premises Liability Act, which changed the law in Colorado substantially. The old law was Mile High versus Radovich. Radovich was a police officer, Denver police officer. That law is gone. Basically, we have a new law that classifies the status of the people that come on the property. Your status, explain it to everybody. It's kind of confusing.
Well, it is it confusing because sometimes you can blend from one status to another. But the Premises Liability Act, which goes to anybody who's in the possession or control of the property, and we'll talk about that later, but it holds anybody in possession or control of the property responsible. But the Premises Liability Act classifies you the minute you step onto somebody's property. And it classifies you as either an invitee, a licensee, or a trespasser. And so that's the first thing that's going to happen. You've got to think about why you're on the property and what you're doing on the property. Sometimes it can fool you as to why you're on the property, and there can be an argument. An invitee is a person who enters on the land or remains on the land to transact business in which the parties are mutually interested, or who remains on the land, on such land, in response to the landowner's an express or implied representation that the public is requested, expected, or intended to enter on the land. You know, when you start doing that, you start going, okay, what, as Gary brought up, what about Halloween? Is a person coming on your land, are they entering on the land at the express or implied representation that the public is requested to or intended to enter onto the property? And so when you put those Halloween decorations out there, are you inviting people to come onto the land? Are you inviting them to, is there an express or implied representation that they're expected to come onto the land? And you have to apply custom then. What's the custom of Halloween? The custom of Halloween is to go to people's doors and get a piece of candy. Now we'll talk later, Gary, at least I figure you'll direct it at some point to attractive nuisance.
Right.
And children under the age of 14, because the rules change if you're under the age of 14 versus you're 14. So, you know, you're having to make a decision right there. But as you're putting out your Halloween items, first of all, does that mean you're asking people to come onto your land? And we can do more than just Halloween night. I mean, there's a couple houses around my neighborhood that, you know, they've got so many things on their property of Halloween stuff that it's things that activate when you walk in front of them, and they activate when you have motion in front of them. Well, that motion has to be done by getting onto the person's property. And when you're getting onto the person's property, are you now in that special classification of invitee? And we'll talk about why that's so important later. But then, you know, or is the question is, are you a licensee? Are you a person who enters or remains on the land for the licensees, for the person's own convenience to advance their own interest pursuant to the landowner's permission or consent? So that's, are you just going on there for your own interest?
Right. I mean, it's a very confusing situation, and I don't know if we have Justin Johansson with us this morning. Justin, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, super. So we got a break coming up, but right after the break, I want to get into this. You know, the duty of the landowner, let's make it as simple as possible because it's a very confusing statute and set of laws. So the duty of a landowner is controlled by, as Brad just said, the status of the person entering the land, the person coming on your land. If you own the house and it's Halloween, what is their status? And whatever their status is under the law, which Justin will go in right after the break, whatever their status is triggers a different duty. And you guys say, you got to be kidding me, man. No. Think about somebody that goes into Walmart or a big box store versus somebody that walks onto your property, right? So this is what this Premises Liability Act is all about. We got a break coming up. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Justin Johansson, Brad Pollock, Gary Bell. We're here with you every week. Right after the break, we're going to explain the status situation to you and what it means, and it creates a different duty. How fascinating is that? Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com, because we're champions of the people. We'll be right back. All right, it's time for Legal Rock and Roll. Fasten your seatbelt. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Justin Johansson, Brad Pollock, Gary Bell. We're here for you. This is a legal show, a law talk show. How refreshing is that? It's not a political show. There's plenty of places you can go rail against somebody else if you want to. Not here. We devised this show years ago to be a law talk show, pure law talk, and we're that way. And we want to educate you because at Bell and Pollock, we educate and advocate. Now, we're talking about Premises Liability Act. Those are the fancy words. We're talking about liability in big box stores on somebody else's property, your property, a ranch, vacant land, right, your backyard, the car wash, inadequate security. And so, Justin, it depends on the status, and that's the word, the status of the person entering the property. When you go shopping at King Supers, you're one thing, which you're going to cover. You go shopping at Walmart, you're one thing. You go to somebody's house, you might be a different classification, and that changes the duty. What do you think?
Yeah, correct. So depending on what you are defined as, whether you're defined as a trespasser, licensee, or an invitee, depends on the duty that the landlord owner would owe you. So for example, it's almost like a sliding scale. If you're a trespasser, the landowner doesn't owe you as great of duty. If you're an invitee on the higher end, the landowner owes you a higher duty. So for example, if you're a trespasser, then the landowner would only be liable for the willful or deliberate harm that was caused to you. So let's give an example. Let's say that a homeowner discovers a trespasser in their backyard and intentionally pushes them into the pool, causing injuries. Well, that's a willful and deliberate act. You know, you can't just set up a booby trap knowing that the trespassers are going to come onto your land. So you establish this booby trap for them. That's what's going to get you in trouble because that's willful. That's a willful act. Now, if you're a licensee where, you know, someone enters onto the property for their own benefit, like a social guest, then the duty elevates to the landowner. So the landowner now has to exercise reasonable care, and he's liable for those damages, or, you know, if they were unreasonably... Did the landowner exercise reasonable care for those dangers that were created, or did they fail to warn of unusual dangers? So, for example, a friend visits for a casual chat and then ends up slipping on some freshly spilled oil in the garage that the homeowner knew about. And that creates the host being liable because they knew about it and they failed to exercise reasonable care when that licensee, that person came over to visit. Now, the highest end would be the invitee. They enter into the property for the mutual business or public invitation, like a shopper, right? You go into the grocery store, you're going to be labeled as an invitee. And that's the highest duty that the landowner that is liable for you is they have to have this they're liable for these unreasonable failure to exercise reasonable care against that danger. So when you go into the grocery store and you slip on a banana peel that's been on the floor for hours, the property owner then would be liable for that because, you know, they should have known that banana peel has been there for quite some time. So the duty that the landowner owes is based on that status.
Right. I mean, those are really, really good points, good examples. You know, in the old days, in sports, in every sport, but I'll just take baseball or football. In the old days when you got physical tickets, and I know it's on the digital tickets now, the owner, like the Broncos, the owner, like the Colorado Rockies, they try to define your status before anybody ever gets hurt. And, so, for example, if you ever looked at an old-fashioned ticket and look at your digital instructions now, in there they will say you agree that you're a licensee. See, there's only three statuses. One is trespasser, one is licensee, and one is invitee. And they owe an invitee the highest duty under the law when they come on the property. So you got 70, 80,000 people going to Broncos Stadium. They don't want them to be invitees, but have they invited you on the property? They want everybody to be a licensee, so it changes the duty. It changes the obligation of the landowner to the injured victim. All right, so let's use you had some great examples. You know, in supermarkets, usually around the produce area where people pick up lettuce and it drops on the floor, and that's very slick. You say, well, what is the duty of the store? You know, Brad, and let's talk about this, because if you're an invitee, and clearly, when you go shopping into Walmart, King Supers, you go to a big box store, you go to a hardware store, you go shopping, you're invited. You're an invitee. They owe you the highest duty. So then, Brad, what we always hear is, well, wait a minute. You say you slipped on lettuce. We didn't know about it. See, that argument applies maybe to a licensee, but to an invitee, the duty of care, and Brad's going to cover this, the duty of care is they are liable for anything they knew about or should know about. And when you got hundreds and thousands of people coming in your store, you have a duty, Brad, to inspect it. And over the years, we've done cases where when we discover their protocols, shopping malls, they have people designed to go around and clean up the floor. You see them all the time.
Well, yeah,
that's what they're doing.
It's new or should have known, and they exercise reasonable care. So, you know, what's the reasonable care that Walmart or King Supers or any of the big box stores should be, Target should be showing towards the people who are coming in to buy their product? And you know, you start saying, okay, well, what did you know of or should you have known about? And then you start getting into maintenance schedules. You start getting into cameras. You start getting into even the cameras that are there to detect shoplifters. You start saying, well, wait a minute, that camera not only shows a shoplifter, but it can also show where you have a somebody who spilled their drink that they got from one of the counters or they brought in with them or whatever, where they spilled it all over the floor. And it shows a dangerous condition, or it shows a condition that is something that's got to be addressed, where it shows that somebody left some of the product on the shelves out on the floor. It's especially changes the duty when you're in the clothing part of Walmart versus where you're in the food produce part of Walmart. Because once again, you've got to understand that it's what you knew or should have known about and exercise reasonable care. Well, what kind of reasonable care, all of you listening right now, when you're sitting here thinking, what kind of reasonable care do you expect an entity to display to keep you safe so they know or should have known about the danger? Do you expect them to have people walking up and down the aisles? Do you expect the duty of the employees to include, if you see something on the floor, pick it up, or if you see a substance on the floor, stop, put a sign on, and get it cleaned up? Or do you expect that? And do you expect your people to be walking up and down the aisles? Now, you know, we're going to blend this a little bit, probably, if we time permitting, we may blend this into what duty of care. Do you consider a trick-or-treater, somebody coming on your property, do you consider them to be an invitee? Have you invited them onto your property so that you can see their costumes and you can have the fun of giving them a piece of candy or whatever, and you can have them there, and you can have the fun of having things jump out and scare them and all the other thing, and they can come get their candy? Do you consider them an invitee?
Well, you say, you know, Brad, Justin, come on, you guys. Come on, this is Halloween. I'm having a good time. I didn't invite anybody. I didn't send an invitation to anybody. My front yard is decorated. Yeah, it's got a haunted house. Yeah, kids are running through the haunted house. Yeah, and yes, I've been serving candy all evening.
And I've got my porch light on.
I got my porch
light on, but which Justin, can be a big part.
They reach a point when they're invitees, man.
Well, there was a house that I always thought it was funny because there was a house that created this like crazy Halloween display, and they would put several signs that says no trespassing, dangerous conditions. But it was very Halloweenish, right? It wasn't like a traditional no trespassing sign. And I was thinking that'd be a great bar law school bar exam question. With that sign posted, does that immediately qualify as a trespasser? If you went onto the land and went and got your candy, and as Brad explained, and all set off active made emotions, and for some reason they slipped and fall. Maybe there was a hidden danger that they tripped on, right? And they fell and cracked their teeth. Would the landowner be able to say, well, the fact that I put a no trespassing sign, therefore that person, I did not create a willful dangerous condition.
Yeah, but you know, look at this, you guys. Look at this. So yeah, I've got a sign out there and it looks Halloweenish. And does the landowner or homeowner really mean it? You know, no trespassing, because I see other kids are in the haunted house, and he or she, the homeowner, is letting them do it. And so, and then they're inviting people up to the front door and they're letting them do it. And so the homeowner says, and we're going to cover this right after the break, the homeowner says, well, I had a sign that said no trespassing. I had a sign that said warning, dangerous condition, but I let them come on anyway. So question, as they say in law school, query, did the homeowner waive it? Did they forget about it by letting everybody come up there?
Was it part of one of the props? Was it part of one of the props?
Yeah.
That people thought, oh, this is like a little cemetery area. No trespassing is part of one of the props, and you know, to scare people, and make you think you could be hurt.
Or did you mean just no trespassing on the cemetery?
Yeah, exactly.
But you can come to my front door. All right, you listen to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Hey, we're having too much fun down here. Come on, we're talking about premises liability. And your obligation and the store's obligation. You're in Home Depot. You're in a big box store. You're in a hardware store. You're in this store, that store, ABC store. I don't care. We don't care. The law still applies, right? And we're going to teach you. Bell and Pollock, the only show of its kind. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back. Justin Johansson, Brad Pollock, Gary Bell. We're here for you. Right now, you know, we usually take a magic carpet ride over to Caitlin's, and instead, we're not taking the magic carpet ride today, but we're talking about them. You know, they have big screen TVs down there. They got great food. They've got homemade red chili sauce, homemade green chili sauce. I mean, it's kind of incredible. And you know, I've tried to coerce, steal the pancake mix for years, but I've been unsuccessful. So I need some help there, Brad. But I'm telling you what, you get breakfast any time of the day, lunch any time of the day you want, fresh food, generous portions, happy faces, good smiling faces, big screen TVs, and a deck on top of everything else.
Well, you can't get the recipe, but you can get the bulk. I mean, you can go down there and get bulk pancake batter, and I've done it many, many times. This is a time of year where I've... in my household, we got my wife, my two kids. We like to go out on the patio, and we like to have something to eat, breakfast out on the patio. And it's so easy to have the bulk pancake batter and the green chili to be able to just put it on your food or make your pancakes, and away you go. You don't really need any kind of syrup or anything. They serve it with syrup and butter and stuff, but. The bottom line is that you go down to Caitlin's, 4379 East Mississippi Avenue in Denver. They're basically the corner of Mississippi and Colorado Boulevard. You head down there, and you can sit out on their deck.
Yeah.
You can enjoy that. I don't know a reason not to go down there.
I don't either. Sometimes you can run across the rugby players, and you can even challenge them if you want a little small game of rugby. I mean... They'll make you flat as a pancake, speaking about pancakes. But
well, that is right. Glendale is a rugby town, and the rugby players come over and eat.
They love it.
And they got hearty portions of food at Caitlin's because it satisfies the rugby players. You know, they don't have to order two orders. They just order one meal and they get plenty of food. So you want to go down there and you want to try it out, folks. Or if you've been down there, go down again, keep going and enjoy yourself. You get good service, you get good food, you get good atmosphere, you got the big screens going on. I don't know a reason not to go down.
Nope, and you will love it every bite of the way. All right, hey, Justin, let's get back to this Halloween thing just for a second, mm-hmm. and then I'm gonna morph over to a big box store and cover that. But back to the Halloween thing. You said it was a great law school question, or maybe even a bar exam question. Great. It would apply the premises liability to that situation when they've got the no trespassing. But look, explain to everybody, when you put up a warning, dangerous condition, no trespassing, but you just let people flood your property and you're doing it with your permission and consent, then what's your answer, big guy?
Well, I think Brad said it. You waive that, right? You are basically setting up a situation for yourself where you are allowing the facts of that case to change the status of the person. In other words, maybe they're going from the trespasser now to the invitee status. And that's what the courts will decide. The courts will, they get to decide, the judge will decide whether you're going to be defined as a trespasser, licensee, or an invitee. And they're going to look at those things. Now, I think it changes the facts. If, let's say, it was maybe a rural area and the property owner always had a no trespassing sign and it's permanent, right? Maybe there's a big fence and then he or she puts up this Halloween decoration with trespassing dangerous condition, but he leaves that sign up. That goes to those simple fact patterns that can change the status of the invitee. But I think, you're always going to be saying that you're going to ask the question, did the landowner waive those? Kind of going to your big box story. Here's one that I think a lot of people have found themselves in, where let's say you're at the grocery store,
right?
And there's multiple shoppers. Let's say you're in the dairy area and one of the shoppers grabs a big container of yogurt. And I actually saw this the other day, and the person grabbed the yogurt and they attempted to place it in their basket, but for whatever reason, they fumbled it and spilled it and it went all over, right?
What a mess.
Yeah. And the rest of the shoppers continued to do what they were just normally doing. You could tell that they were not aware of the spill. And the person that spilled the yogurt grabbed the container and picked it up and then kind of looked around. And they looked up to see if there's anybody looking at them, looked up to see if there's any cameras, and they quickly stuck it over into another refrigerated section that was open. Those refrigerated sections that are just there's no glass over it.
They placed it
inside there and then grabbed the cart and then took off.
Yeah.
So what is the duty, if any, that's owed by the shopper? Does the shopper have to go immediately and notify the landowner?
That's true.
But what happens if someone slipped immediately thereafter? I thought, what if someone walked by that and slipped on that? Maybe 2 minutes. Does timing play a factor as well?
Well, timing does play a factor, but Brad, you can jump in. But I the statute defines invitee. You're clearly invited to a big box store. You're clearly invited to a grocery store. Okay. And then I was going to use the example. Somebody brought their coffee in from Starbucks next door, or their Coke that they got from somebody else. They spilled their Coke all over the place. Well, what is what's the grocery store's obligation with regard to the spilled Coke? Folks, that's why they do inspections. When you get into these cases, you get into the area called discovery. You mean discover the other side's rules, regulations, paperwork, documents. And Brad and I and Bell and Pollock, we always ask for their protocol, right, Brad, on cleanups, because you'll see something like this, that they will have somebody go around the store every 10 minutes, every 15 minutes, down, up and down every aisle.
Well, yeah, and now we're getting onto their side of it. As far as who's the duty. First of all, we haven't even finished the other side, guys. So you guys are so far past where we're supposed to be. But this is a two-show process because you start talking about who the landowner is. who's got the responsibility? Because you start having to define landowner and who's got the responsibility. And the question you've got in Justin's example, what the spiller, the person who spilled the yogurt.
There's a spiller and a spillee.
And a spillee. Is the spiller a landowner? Probably not. But does the spiller have a different duty because they've created a negligent act and they've created a dangerous condition? And that you know, makes a whole new part to this. But the question is, how fast is the grocery store supposed to find out about the spilled yogurt and do something about it? And the first thing you have to do when you're in this business, and when I say this business, as lawyers, by the way, Bell and Pollock's the only law firm that would get into this and try to explain this to you and educate you about it. But the thing you have to do is you have to ask the store, what's your cleanup policy and what's your policy to monitor, knowing that you're in a department where stuff can be spilled and create a dangerous condition?
I'm gonna call your bet. I'm gonna raise the ante. I'm gonna raise it up because look at this. And you get into these protocols. What are your protocols, Mr. and Mrs. Store Owner? What are they? Well, we don't have any. Yeah, you do. So they turn them over. And did you know, did you understand that their protocols say that in one area of the store, like the brooms, they inspect it less than in the high dangerous areas like produce, dairy, drinks, because of what Justin just said just happened. And so they might, and they do, inspect it more frequently than they're going to inspect dog chow. They inspect it, but it's not, it may be every 30 minutes. It may be every 35, 40 minutes. But on the high-intensity areas, the dangerous areas, they do it more frequently.
So, Justin, lay it on us. How long did that yogurt stay on the floor before somebody came and cleaned it up?
It was about 5 minutes because there was another... there was an employee that walked by and you could see him radio it up and it cleaned it up. But yeah. I immediately thought, okay, what happens if somebody slipped before that shopper or before they cleaned it up?
It only takes a minute, Justin.
But I think that happens more often than not.
Yeah, but wait a minute, Justin. What did you just say? You just said they come up and somebody radioed it in. What was that?
you could see they had the little mic radioing it in for assistance.
And so they know they got to act quickly, and they even got communication devices to let them act quickly, right? Now, I tell you what, we have a lot to cover, but we're not going to end this show. We're going to take a break, but we're not going to end this show without telling you what to do. Right after the break, what to do. I'm going to go to Justin and Brad, and, I mean, you slip and fall, so now what do you do? Now what's going to happen? And who's going to contact you? And is the insurance company going to contact you? Or a third-party administrator? And, man, your head is spinning. Gary, quit talking. Quit talking so fast and quit talking. I'm losing my balance this morning. I can't drink my coffee. We'll be right back, Champions of the People. All right, grab your legal coffee, your legal bagel. Bell and Pollock, we're still talking law. We've got Justin Johansson, Brad Pollock, Gary Bell here for you every Saturday. We love doing this show. We love educating and advocating. That's what we do. You know, on our website, championsofthepeople.com, we have 10 injury books on different injury subjects. They're free for you. You can just go down on our website and download them, e-copy free, or if you want a hard copy, they're free too. Yeah, you got to be kidding me, Gary. No, they're all free. We want you to have the information. We've done thousands, and I mean thousands of shows over the years. We've done half-hour shows, podcasts. We do our Champions of the People Injury Show. And today on KRAI in Craig, Colorado, our Champions of the People show, 1 hour long, folks, 1 hour long. Takes a lot to produce this. It's called Anatomy of an Injury Case. Anatomy of an Injury Case. So, Craig, Colorado, get ready. You're going to have Anatomy of an Injury Case. All right, back to our subject. So, Justin, you fell. Now you're in, let's say you're in a grocery store. You fell. And I'm going to talk to you in the office, but I just can't. I would see Justin with his arms spread out in front of this yogurt. Hold it, folks. Don't come over here. Nothing over here. Watch out. Warning. But so I want you to go over. Now you've fallen. You're down. Maybe you can get up. Maybe you can. Maybe they need an ambulance. But minimum, you're going to file a report, right? I mean, minimum. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There's a couple things that you can do, right? Like immediately if you slip and fall, as you said, you got to make sure that you're okay. If you're able to get up without the assistance of anyone, the first thing is seek medical attention, right? That's even after you leave, you may be okay, but then all of a sudden, a few days later, you start feeling sore. So at a very minimum, go get checked out by your doctor. That's going to be the number one thing that you got to make sure that you're okay, right? At least medically speaking. If while you're there at the scene, in today's day and age with cell phones, try to document and take photos or videos of the exact location where you fell, if possible, right? If you have family or friends, I always kind of think of it like take your cell phone out or have someone do this for you and just do a slow 360 scan of where you're at. And then take one, you know, a photo or a camera video of the area in which you fell. Because documenting what the situation looked like can go a long ways in determining whether there was a hazard or not. Was the carpet, you know, did the carpet create a situation that caused you to fall that maybe the landowner should have known? How long was the yogurt there? And then gather witness statements. If there's anybody that saw what happened, ask for their name. Try to exchange contact information. Almost think of it like an auto accident, right? If you get in an auto accident, you're going to exchange information, get phone numbers, get witnesses. You kind of have to be your own police investigator at that moment in time. But if you can report the incident to the property owner as well, make them have a written report, and then obviously contact Bell and Pollock.
Right. You know, right.
And you have to contact, you know, Bell and Pollock. You have to contact us because we need to get a spoliation letter out. We need to get whatever we can out to try and preserve the information that is available to tell you about what happened with that spill and or what happened with that location. And if there's any cameras, if we make sure that they're not erased or somebody doesn't video over them so that you have the information.
Well, explain what a spoliation letter is.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that, Brad. Maybe someone doesn't know what that is.
Let's go.
And it sounds like a simple letter, and we have them, and we'll do it for you very quickly. But it's a letter where we're sending it out to the property owner or to the store or to the management of the store, where we're telling them they've got to preserve all the evidence and all the information related to that particular location and related to that fall and related to what happened.
Including video.
And that includes video. And that includes if there were statements. And that includes if people cleaned it up. Who cleaned it up? I don't want to hear later on, well, one of our employees went and got a mop real quick and cleaned it up, but we can't tell you who that is. No. I want to know who it is that cleaned it up. I want to know how long that spill was there. So I want to know the last time you inspected that area and the time and how you happened to find this spill. Did you find it because you've got a person laying on the ground and they're hurt or laying on the floor and they're hurt? And I want all that evidence preserved. And I don't want it spoiled. That's why we call it spoilation letter. I don't want the information spoiled.
Because the property owner may even have an internal policy that we wipe the video out every 24 hours or every 3 weeks or every 60 days or every 30 days. And if you don't send that spoilation letter out, they will just deter, you know, they could eliminate that video. And that pretty much ruins the case if there was that video that they erased that Gary mentioned.
Well, and let me tell you how important this is, folks. I mean, we've done these cases. We've lived with you. Call Bell and Pollock. Don't call the other guys. Just call the guys with experience. Bell and Pollock, but look, this is, we've got my most recent one. I sent out a spoliation letter. Don't you preserve all this evidence? You preserve the video. And then they came into court and said, well, we didn't do it, but our system automatically destroys and wipes out all the video every 30 days. And the judge looked at him and said, are you right? Is Mr. Bell right? Did you have this spoliation letter? Did he warn you? Yes. Could you have changed it? Well, I don't know. Yes. This is a big point in your favor later. That's why you need to get a hold of Bell and Pollock right away. It's a big point in your favor later, because if they ruined evidence, if they destroyed evidence, if they spoiled evidence, bingo. And one more point I want to make before we end this show. If you slip and fall, you fall in a store, whatever, we're talking about a grocery store now, but it doesn't matter what it is. If you do, here's the one thing you never do. This is a double negative. My high school English teacher would probably kill me. This, the one you never do is not file a report. You always file a report, because they will say, we didn't know about it. We didn't know they were injured. We didn't know this. That happened to us at Bell and Pollock one time. We won on the case. They said, we're confused. We don't really know. Nobody reported it to us. I said, well, were you confused when the ambulance came down aisle 3? That confuse you? Right? So, all right, you listen to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're up against the wall on time. We appreciate you being here. Our website, championsofthepeople.com, for a reason. It's an information-loaded website. Look, we have years of experience on injury cases. Call Bell and Pollock. It's easy to contact us. Website, phone, text, doesn't matter. We're there for you, and we will help you, because we are your champions of the people. We will see you next week.
The opinions, viewpoints, and promises made during the preceding program are not those of KHOW, its staff, management, or parent company, iHeartMedia Incorporated.